from the table of life. Drink from the fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Father, once again we come together to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. And may you give us truth this morning, Lord. May you speak to our hearts. Give us revelation, Lord, for we know that all revelation comes from you. And Father, we thank you and praise you for that. Lord, from the very beginning, Lord, as you revealed yourself to Abel, Lord, and he brought the proper sacrifice, Lord, that which was pleasing unto you. And Lord, that which you promised in the last days, that there would be a people chosen of God, Lord. And Lord, that they would know the place where you put your name and where you're revealing yourself. And Lord, that place is in Christ. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you opened the door. Lord, that you invite those in who you want to live in your presence. And we thank you and praise you. Lord, we pray for those that are not able to be here this morning, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord. And Lord, those that would be listening in, Lord, let the word go forth and not go without effect, Lord, but let it stir every heart. Lord, we just thank you and praise you, and we commit all to you now. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see you this morning. And we thank the Lord to be here. And we're always blessed. And so I'm wondering, brother, do you know, is Sister Esther, are they still sickness? Sick? I know they were sick last week. You don't know. So, yeah. So we'll try to go and see them if possible. We can even do that today, maybe. So we're missing them and the girls, and so we want to be in prayer for them. Lord will bless them. They have had some sickness, and so we know how Satan works, and so we ask God's hand of mercy upon them, and then we just greet those that are listening in this morning. Yeah. And that the Lord will speak to your hearts. Now, I put a scripture in here in Revelation chapter 5. You might want to pull it up. We're going to begin at the first verse. I'm sorry I didn't get it in to your quotes there, but I just thought after the fact I would put this in there since it's on the line of thought that we're looking at. And I this thing just keeps pushing. And I was just ready to, I've been telling you, I've been trying now for several services to finish this Armageddon. And so I thought I'm going to throw in there the four horse riders just because they tie together with that. And I said, I'm just going to identify each one of them and then take Armageddon, put it in there. And then I even had something after that, but that was going to be one. That was going to be the service today. And so when I was just in the first seal, I'm not even getting to the horse rider. I'm just, there was so much there, and it's been so long since I talked about some of these things. And some of it I've been mentioning, but I hadn't put the quotes out there. And so I wanted to do that this morning. I in several messages, but it's right around the thought here And so may the Lord have his way as we look at it. So begin in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And now one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And then I'm gonna begin in the I want to spend a good bit of time in the seal book. And so, but what we're reading here in the book of Revelation is speaking about those seals. It's speaking about the book and the book being revealed. And it's saying that there was no one found. There was no man. And they searched everywhere. There was no man in heaven. There was no man on earth. There was no man under the earth that was worthy to take this book and to loose the seals thereof. And so, but then there was one found, the Lamb. And we know who that is. We know who the Lamb is. And so this is Scripture. This is the Bible. And now for 2,000 years since Christ came, and the churches and the denominations and the theologians, and they've dissected the Bible. They've taken it apart piece by piece, and they've put their idea to it. They did the best they could do. Some of them, they were so far away. You could tell they weren't spiritually minded at all. But there were some that they had some good thoughts, but it was put there and it was sealed so that no one could know it. Amen. That's what it was. When you seal something, you seal it so it can't be known. That it was going to be reserved for a special time. And as we continue to read in the book of Revelations, we find, and even Paul mentions these things, and there was a time predestinated by God, anointed by God, for these things to be revealed, to be made known. And so in order for that to happen, then God was going to have to come according to God's pattern, according to the channel that God has always used from Genesis to Revelation. Yes, and that's by a prophet. And so he has to send a prophet on the scene so that these scriptures can be fulfilled and that they can be made manifest. And when they're made manifest, then the revelation of the seven seals then are opened up to the people. They're open to the people so they can know what the mystery was beneath those seals. And so what was being revealed was, it was the book of redemption. It was God revealing, completing the revelation of redemption. We know what they had in the Old Testament. We know what started in the garden. Abel killed a lamb, and that was redemption. And then it came through Moses and the law, and they had all of their different sacrifices and all their festivals and all of those things. And it was that was redemption. That was, they were covering their sins by the blood of bulls and goats. Okay. So, but that didn't remove their sins. So the scripture was always pointing to something greater. It was always pointing that there's something greater that's coming. And that would be the blood of Jesus Christ. So that was going to be the Messiah. There was a problem, though, when he came. They didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize who he was. And so here was God changing his mask. God, the great Spirit, the Father, God the Father was the great eternal Spirit. He was the Logos of God, the Spirit of God, and nobody could see Him because He's a Spirit. And so they didn't know who He was. All they could see was gather some of His characteristics every time He would manifest Himself in one of His prophets. Amen. And so when a prophet would come on the scene and that prophet would begin to speak words of life, then that was actually revealing the thoughts of God. And so when that prophet's speaking now, they're learning what God's thoughts are. And they're learning what God wants them to do and how He wants them to live and the things that He expects of them. And at the same time, they're seeing His characteristics are coming into view now. And this great mysterious God is little by little, He's revealing Himself. And He's making Himself known to the people. And then He comes down into Jesus Christ. And here is God just creates a body. And then the Father, the great eternal Spirit, comes into that body that He created, yes, which He called the Son. Right. Wasn't a different person. It was the same God, the same Spirit. Yes. Not two spirits, just the Holy Spirit came down into the body that God created. Right. He put the seed and He put the egg into a woman who just took in the food and was an incubator for that body to grow. And so, but that seed and the egg was not of any person. It was of God. Amen. So this was God Himself. This was the creation of God. And so He was the spoken word seed of God, just like Adam was the spoken seed word. There was no birth there, but it was just a creation. And so here comes the Son of God, and He now fulfills what God had in His mind concerning the price of redemption. And so that price is going to be the blood of God. It's going to be the created blood of God. And so it's going to hang on Calvary and pay the price. Well, so then, as with all of the words of God that come from Genesis till that time, they have to be recognized, yes, and they have to be accepted. So it didn't do none of them any good back there in the Old Testament to come through the Red Sea with Moses or even to go through the flood with Noah. Right. If they didn't believe God, they were still lost. Yes. Just because they came over on the ark didn't mean they were sons of God. It means they were sons of Noah. They were sons of God physically coming down the righteous lineage, but they weren't sons of God spiritually. Or they wouldn't have come and created their own gods and created idols and worshiped something else besides God. Amen. So they were proving what was on the inside. And that's where it's always been. Right. That's where it's always been. It's never been the flesh man. Yes, it's always been that seed of God that's on the inside. Amen. So this thing that God's doing now, it's got to be accepted. Had to be in the Old Testament. Now here comes the blood of God. And in the New Testament now, it's still got to be accepted. That God has paid the price for sin. You don't have to do none of this bulls and goats and pigeons and all the things that they did now. All those rituals, they've been delivered from it. This is a new covenant. A new covenant has been delivered to the people. Well, they didn't want a new covenant. They didn't even capitalize on the scriptures that said there would be a new covenant. No, they didn't. But you go back and you look in Jeremiah 31, I think maybe 30, 29, 30, 31. And God told them through the prophet, said, I'm going to give you a new covenant. I'm going to establish a new covenant with you. And it's not going to be like this covenant. No, and there's another place talks about doing away with the daily sacrifices and those things. He told them it was hidden in there. See? But it was waiting for someone to come along and manifest it and prove it that this was the word of God. And so let's get into this because I have a lot. And I want to get as much as I can so I can keep it together. And this is paragraph 15. And Brother Branham is just telling a little bit now of what is going to happen. Now, knowing these things, but just all I have received of Him that I can tell. See, I've told you. He's saying all that God has showed me now, I've told you. And now as we go into these seals, I'm going to tell you what he allows me to say. And that's how it always was. Some things the prophet's not allowed to say, and some things he is. And so he says what God allows him to say, and then he leaves the rest. And so you go through your Bible, and you'll watch some of them prophets. They'll speak something, and sometimes they'll explain it. Sometimes they won't. It's not even going to be known in their day. It's going to be known in another day. See? But it's being spoken now so that it can be vindicated at another time. And that's the reason when Jesus come, you could go back in the scriptures and you go scripture after scripture after scripture and say, this is the Messiah. This is Jesus. This is Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. All of those scriptures being spoken by all those different prophets was now happening right there in their day and their hour. And so that was a marvelous thing to the seed of God, to the children of God. That was a marvelous thing because that word they were seeing was actually in them. And so it was the word coming to the word. And so it was a great hour and a great time. And so that's what it is in every age. That's what it is today when you recognize the message today that God has spoken in this hour, that he sent a prophet in this day, and the scriptures being revealed, and all of these, all those seven seals, all the book of Revelation, all of those things, it's all made known.
Yes, sir.
Because God promised he would do it.
Right.
And so he has done it. And he has done it. And so to the children of God living in this age, they're on fire. They're in love. They're excited. They're thanking God for this revelation.
Right.
And others, the Bible says they don't have the love of the truth. They want to continue in their ideas. They want to continue in their doctrines, their dogmas, and their nominal ideas. And all you can do is share it with somebody. You can't make them do it. See, that's what the Catholic Church wants to do. That's what Islam wants to do. They want to force you. They want to force you. That proves in the beginning that it's not God.
Amen.
Huh? Because that's not God's way.
Right.
There was Cain and Abel right there. God revealed it to Abel, and Abel just did it. He loved the truth, and he was a part of God, and he just obeyed. And then Cain, he got upset, he got mad, just like Satan's seed gets mad today. And so God said, what's wrong? Why are you mad? He said, this is God now, not forcing him, not twisting his arm, not making him do anything. He said, Cain, if you will do what your brother has done, you'll be accepted.
Yep.
He said, you're jealous now of your brother. You're mad at your brother because of what he's done. And I've blessed him and I've accepted him. But now I'm telling you, if you will do what your brother has done, I will accept you too. What did he do? He killed his brother.
Yep.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah. Did it set him on fire and say, praise God? The door's been opened. This thing has been revealed to me. Now I know how to serve God. Now I know what God wants done with his word. Now I know what he wants me to do. All I got to do is go kill a lamb just like Abel did. No. He hated his brother for it. And he got mad at God. So, that's in the beginning. Now here we are in the end. And we, like no others, we now can see what was happening all the way through there from Genesis to Revelation. We have all of those examples now have been given to us.
Right.
And we're just looking and we can see the whole thing. We can see the spirit of Satan come all the way through the Bible. We see the spirit of God come all the way through the Bible.
Yes.
We know the nature of God. We know the nature of Satan. And so we're in the greatest hour. We're in the greatest time. We're in the greatest of the revealing of God, of knowing God and knowing his characteristics. We're in the greatest hour that's ever been on the face of the earth. This is it.
Yes, sir.
And you say, what? You're sitting here in a living room and you don't even have a place. You don't. I'm thankful for Curtis. I told him, I just want you to know we're meeting in a home. I said, we don't have a church or anything like that. He said, it don't matter where you meet.
Amen.
I said, that's exactly right.
That's right.
And I've been to other countries, we've met out in the field. And sometimes there's not even a tree for shade. Sometimes there is. We've met in huts. We've met, Brother Gumbo could give you many examples, wherever the people could come together.
All right.
I think Brother Gumbo went up one place. I never got to go there. I don't know if it was Lord Were or one of those places, but they had put two posts in the ground, and then they had a long board all the way across. And maybe about 15 people could sit on there, and then there's another one, and then there's another one, and there's another one. And there's no back, there's no nothing. It's just a board, and it's just a board. Mm-hmm. And it ain't all sanded down and painted and pretty. It's just a rough board. And it might have some bark on it, but it got them off the ground. That's all. It just got them off the ground. There's no back support. There's no cushion. There's none of that. Huh? But you talk about some happy people when they hear the word. Yeah. That's right. I thank God for that kind of people. I thank God for people that love the word more than they care about the word more than anything else. That's all that matters. So he's saying, you know, I believe it was our Father, our Lord said that all that he had received of the Father, that he had told and withheld nothing. Jesus said that. And so Paul said that too, I think. And so we want to do those things just as they come. See? And so if you follow the message, you know, in Sirs Is This a Time, different messages, he was giving out what God would allow him to give out. And sometimes he couldn't give it all out. And so you notice when the seals opened up that he's bringing these seals one by one. He starts on Sunday, God in Simplicity, and then he goes to the breach, and then he starts first seal, second seal, right to where to? The sixth seal. And then he takes the questions. And what's last? Why didn't he wait till after the seventh seal for the questions? He didn't want questions. Because this was going to be a secret. This was going to be left in the supernatural realm. This was going to be left in a mystery. It was going to, and it was time. Now it's been 63 years. Is this 63 years now? From 63. It's 63 years, I think. From 65, from the time the prophet left us, it's 61 years. So you think. And it was several years now. And I say in this, I know there was preachers that was bringing some of these mysteries in the 70s. But those things, they begin, and I believe that it really began to break free. And so it's just a personal opinion of mine that in 1977, because that was the Jubilee, and that's where some of the brothers, I know Brother Lee Bale, I think, was preaching two souls back then, but the mysteries was really opening up in the 70s, and he said 77 was Jubilee, and so I really believe the revelation really began to open up then, and it's been coming continually until even now. It's still unfolding itself. Yes, it's unfolding itself. And so, but it was revealed way back there. And these horse riders was all the way through the seven church ages. Those things was taking place all the time. And let me not get into that. Verse 16. Tomorrow night is the first seal, which the first four seals are opened by four horse riders, and on each seal that strikes the earth, right? And so then the book is a revelation. So a revelation is something that's made known, something that's been revealed. And you notice now, so you won't forget it, it's closed up until the latter time, right? And the whole mystery of it is closed up until the latter times. We find that in the scripture here. And so not pulling all them scriptures. I do have one, and we've mentioned it a number of times recently, and I think Brother Gumby even mentioned it the other day. He's saying here, because Paul talked about these things, he talked about the last days. So, and then we read in chapter 5 in Revelations, those things are in the last days. There's things that in the first days, at Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out upon the people of that age. And then we know by the scripture, by Paul, who was the prophet of that day, And then we know by the history now, because it's all history, it's over. We got it, it's in the schools, it's taught in the schools. We have the history books, you can go read all about it, everything. All the way through there, how there was a falling away. Paul prophesied of that falling away. He said, the Lord's not coming till there be a falling away. And he said, he's not coming until the man of sin be revealed, the Antichrist. So all of that had to be revealed before Christ could come. And so we see that. And we know that those things have been manifested. And those things have happened in this hour. So now the book's revealed. Now, when he comes in this day, he's not coming like they expected. He's not coming the way people had it in their mind. That's what happens. Every time God's going to do something, he gives a prophecy, and then the churches interpret the prophecy. That's not what God said do. He never told me to interpret anything. No, he said God is his own interpreter. That's what the Bible says. God is his own interpreter. So the problem is, we want to do it right now. God's going to do it when it's time for it to happen. God proves his word by bringing it to pass. So that's what happens. That's why in Jesus' day, they were so confused. Even the disciples were confused. They couldn't understand many things. One time they asked him and say, why do the scribes say, one of the denominations, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, herds, why do they say that Elias will come first? Well, Jesus said, he's already come. And they didn't know it. They didn't know that John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah on him and that he was that messenger to forerun. They didn't know it. Even the disciples didn't know it. But he's revealing it now. And they had the ability to believe it when he spoke it. The others don't have that ability. He told the rest of them about that, and it didn't do no good for them because they had their idea. And so they had their idea now because they were under the hand of Rome. And this always meant a lot to me, because when I bring it to today and see the spiritual things that's happened today that people are looking for in a different way. But the Jews were looking for him, the Messiah, to set up his kingdom upon the earth. So in order for him to do that, he had to do away with the Romans, right? Because they were under Roman rule. That's what it was. And so the Romans controlled Israel. They were under that because they sinned against God over and over and over again. And God kept letting other countries defeat them, make slaves out of them. It was a constant thing. It was just constant all the way through the Bible. God would give them something, and then they would squander it, and then he would bring judgment on them, and then he would save them. And it was just over and over and over. And it was, God was revealing himself. Right. He was the king. He was the savior. He was the judge. He was the executioner. He was all of it. He was just expressing his love for his people. And so when he come in that day, the Jews had it figured out. When he comes, first thing he's going to do is get rid of the Romans. Okay? So Christ is on the earth 33 and a half years. And in that 33 years, the political landscape doesn't change one iota. Right. The creator of heavens and earth comes down to earth.
Yes, sir.
He pays the price of sin once and for all. Yes. He hangs on Calvary. He sheds the blood of God. He sets the people free from sin. And in the political arena, nothing changed.
Right.
The world is just like it was.
Yes, sir.
Before he come, while he come, after he come.
Yep.
He's come and gone. He's saved the world
right.
by the blood of God. And nothing's changed.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the elect.
Right.
Except for the elect, he has revealed
yes.
himself. He's revealed himself in his Son.
Amen.
He changed his mask from the Father to the Son.
Right.
And he died. That body died so the blood of God could be shed.
Right.
So now this was a great step of redemption. Of redemption. This was a great hour of redemption. And the world went right on. See? And the people are looking today. this rapture is going to take place and people are going to go up in the sky and the trains and the cars are going to wreck. And you don't read it in the Bible.
Nope.
That's man's idea.
That's right.
That's man's idea. That's man been putting his idea for since the beginning of time.
Right.
Since Cain put his idea and he brought the fruits of the fields and the flowers and all of that. It was beautiful, but it wasn't what God wanted. It wasn't what God wanted. And the people have the same thing today. They're looking for God to do something according to their idea.
Yes, sir.
And that ain't how it works. God is coming according to His Word.
Right.
And so if we're going to surrender to Him, to His Spirit, that He can reveal it to you.
Right.
That's the only way you're going to get it. I'll never know anything unless He reveals it to me.
Right.
You'll never know anything unless He reveals it to you. That's how it is. That's the reason that Cain never got it.
Right.
It wasn't revealed. And that's what the Bible says. It was revealed unto Abel.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yep.
It was revealed unto Abel.
That's right.
You take every single seed of God, man or woman, son of God, daughter of God, all the way through the Bible, and it was God who revealed Himself.
Yes.
And it took God to come on the scene and reveal Himself. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Now, the mystery of the book are revealed when the seals are broken. When are the mysteries revealed? When the seals are broken. Now, we got the seal book here. Huh? And we got the church ages book here. Because they've been broken. Once God commissioned the prophet to reveal the seven seals, reveal the seven church ages, then those things were opened up and they were put in book form. And we have them now. We have them, okay? Just like any other day, any other hour, any other thing that happened. When they walked through the Red Sea in the days of Moses, then that was God manifesting His Word, delivering His people. He brought them out. He brought them right through the water. And then He done so many more things. But yet then that was wrote down. That was the Word of God made manifested, vindicated, proven. And then there's a record of it. We got the record. We got the record that this Bible that promised that there was no man in heaven and earth worthy to take the book and reveal the seven seals, that now that the Lamb has come.
That's right.
And who was He? Who was the Lamb? He was the Word.
Amen.
He was the Word. Who was Jesus? He was the Word.
Yes, sir.
John 1:1. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, the Spirit. And the Word was God. Huh? The Word was with God, the Word was God. And in verse 14 of 1 John, it says that the Word, not 1 John, but John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So in the beginning was the Word. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's still the Word.
Yes, sir.
That's right. This is Him right here. This is Him. He is the Word. His words are life. His words are living.
Yes.
When the Spirit comes on that Word, it's going to manifest what it's promised to do.
That's right.
And without the Spirit, without the Father, Jesus said, I do nothing until the Father shows me.
Amen.
What was He saying? He was God Himself in flesh. He's saying, unless the Spirit anoints these words I'm speaking, they're not going to happen. Unless the Word, the Spirit anoints the words that you're speaking, they're not going to happen.
Amen.
Huh? Every word in here is meant for a moment in time. Every word, every revelation, it's promised for a certain day, a certain hour. And then God, He spoke it, then He manifests it, He proves it, He vindicates it. And then it's on record. It's on record. When the seals completely are broken and the time of redemption is over, see, because the Lamb left the intercession post, see, to walk out and take His claims. He was a mediator between that. But when the real revelation happens on the seals, as they begin to break, the Lamb is coming forth from the sanctuary. See, it's according to the Word. We read it last night. He come out of the midst and took the book, right? And He's no more a mediator because even they called Him a lion. See? And that's the King. And he's not a mediator no more. Now, he's making it clear here that he's not, when this happens, when these seals are revealed, he's no longer a mediator.
That's right.
That's what he's saying. He's making it clear.
Amen.
That in order to go and take the book and to break the seals, he's got to leave that position.
Yes.
He's got to leave that work of a mediatorial and intercessory work.
Right.
That was a work.
Yes.
That was a ministry.
Amen.
That was his priestly order. That's what he was doing for 2,000 years.
Yes,
he was interceding, mediating by the blood of God for the people.
Right.
And now he's saying here that when the seals completely are broken, and he says it two different ways now, when the real revelation happens. So, two things. When they're completely. So, you watch him as you're reading, you read your seal book. You start in the beginning, and he say, even in the breach. So, he's making it clear now that he'll talk about this is what's going to happen.
Right.
So, he'll say, this is going to be the end of the mediatorial work. This is going to be the end of the intercessory work. But not yet. Not yet, because this is, the seals haven't even been broke yet. They're not even starting until tomorrow. And then he'll go on and gets in the first seal, and it's just getting started.
Right.
Now he's saying that's got to be complete. This thing's got to be revealed. This thing's got to be declared. It's got to be done. It's got to be made known.
Amen.
And so it keeps building, and you watch it build through these nights, these services being preached. It's slowly coming until he gets over there in the sixth seal. When he gets in the sixth seal, he said, that's exactly what's poured out here tonight.
Amen.
Yes.
Yep.
It was building all the time, and then he declared it. He said, this is it. And then to be sure, it wasn't just sometime after that he declared it after the seals again.
Amen.
All right, let's move on. He's coming as a king. Now, I always like this because it's a great thing. And this is God just, Brother Bram talked about it in different times, in different ways. And he said, it's just a great drama.
Yes.
It's just a great drama that God had in his mind. And that it's playing out. This whole thing's playing out so that this drama is the characters of it are showing and displaying God's characteristics.
Amen.
So this drama will go through a part here, and it'll show that God is a creator. It'll show that God's a father. It'll show God's a son. It'll show God's a king. It'll show God's a judge. It'll show God coming in judgment and wrath and his fierce power. Huh? Constantly. See? And it changes. And everyone, it's showing the characteristics of God, the attributes of God.
Amen.
See, the actors, I'll place it like that, because an actor is a man who changes his mask. See? That's right. And then when you look at those horse riders, there was four colors. It was just changing the mask. It was the same rider all the time. And so he started in that white horse rider, he started in deception. So, but there was another white horse rider over in Revelations 19. And that horse rider, he had a name.
Right.
And his name was the Word of God.
Amen.
This horse rider in Revelation chapter 6, he didn't have a name.
That's right.
He had a bow and he didn't have any arrows.
Right.
See? But he was an imposter.
Amen.
But for 2,000 years, because of that white horse, they thought that it was Christ. They thought that this was the victory. This was a great thing. Huh? But it was the deception. It was the impersonation.
Yes, sir.
And they were seeing it. They were seeing it. And they were knowing, some of them, as they were getting bits and pieces of it as they were going through it. But now the thing's revealed. Now we know the whole thing, what it is. See? And in this act tonight, we're going to see that it's Satan changing his mask. See? And all the actors, Christ acting the part as he did when he became from spirit to man. He only put on the actor's garments. He's human flesh. And he came down in the form of a man in order to be a kinsman redeemer. Praise be to God. See? Now, this is the first seal. See? And we're still in the first seal. And he's only in actor's form now. And that's the reason why they are all in parables. And isn't that quite... Doesn't it astound you when you think about the fact that the Bible says that when Jesus talked to the people, now not to the elect, not to those chosen ones, but when he talked to the people and the churches and all the denominations of that day, the Bible says that without a parable spake he not unto them. So you know that a parable is something that you don't understand what's being said. A parable is a mystery. And somebody has to explain what the parable means so that you can know what it is. And so that's why that those religious leaders, he would baffle them. And sometimes they would challenge him. Sometimes they'd go quiet for fear because they knew that if they said one thing, he was going to get them before the people. And then he would shock them because he would know things that they'd never even occurred to them. But when he said them, they fit perfectly in the scripture. And they thought, man, that really makes sense. We'd never heard anybody speak like this before. But yet, they couldn't come to it. So what did he do? What did he do with the mystery of all those parables? He took his disciples into the room. He took them off. And he explained to them what it meant. And then finally, the disciples, they watched it over and over and over again until they were just perplexed. And they finally just came to him and they said, Lord, we don't understand why that you don't just speak plainly to the people. And then Jesus astounded them again. He said, because it's given unto you. He said, but to them it's not given. I'm talking scripture now. It's not making up something. It's not my idea about it. But Jesus said, because the reason I don't speak plainly to them, the reason I speak to parables of them is because it's not given to them. It's given to you. Think about that. Why didn't Cain get it? It wasn't given to him. What? You said that God told him exactly what to do. God did tell him what to do. But God didn't give him the revelation.
That's right.
God didn't put a seed in there that made him want to obey.
That's right.
That made him know what it was.
Yep.
No. He had a different nature. Mm-hmm. His nature was jealousy.
That's right.
His nature was hatred.
Yes, sir.
That's why you can spot Satan 100 miles away.
Right.
You can spot Satan. A Christian can spot Satan 100 miles away. They just look at that spirit and the way it's carrying on. They know what it is. They know where it came from.
Yes, sir.
55. Now, it's only in an actor's form. Sorry, I can't touch that screen. I bend it and it just does something. This does something to... Okay, where are we at? 55. Sorry about that. If I touch the screen, I mess it up. And it that time it closed it out. Sometimes it just makes it jump around, go crazy. All right. That's the reason, see? It's only in actor's form. That's the reason they were all in parables and symbols and the way they are like here, like beasts and animals and so forth. It's in an act. And these actors begin in the first church age. Because it was Christ revealing himself to the seven church ages. And then through these church ages, there's a great mess up comes along. And then at the end of the church age, the seventh angel's message is to pick up these lost mysteries and to give it to the church. Now, you can't just say those things. This is the absolute. So there has to be something in here that backs up what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it clearly does.
Right.
It clearly does. Paul spoke of those things. And in Revelation 10 it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. This last messenger to the last church age. There were seven churches, seven church ages, so seven periods of time, and there was a messenger or an angel to each one. And Paul was the angel to the first one. He was the messenger. And so he brought a message. God was revealing through Paul the true revelation of the Scripture and the true revelation of Christ and the Messiah and what the things about Moses and the things that David sang in the Psalms. My God, why has thou forsaken me? All those things, Paul brought them out. God was revealing through the prophet. And so now the Scripture is telling us that this seventh angel, it says that in Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Why? Because that's the promise of the whole Bible, that in the last days, all the mysteries are going to be made known. God didn't have John on the Isle of Patmos to write the whole book of Revelations. God's showing it to him, and he's writing it down. God just speaking, he's writing it down. And then nobody's ever going to know it? That don't make sense. God don't waste time. God don't waste his effort like that. That was for a day and an age. That was for this hour.
Yes, sir.
God, that book of Revelations was in symbols and mysteries and all kinds of ways, so nobody would know it until the last days.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
And we're the privileged people,
yes, sir,
to get to know what it says.
That's right.
Amen. What an hour. What a wonderful day. What a privileged people. See, 57, but not then revealed in their true state. See, let's see there. Get that? Mysteries give to the church. That's right. So, not then revealed in their true state. So, in the church ages, they seen these things. They seen the Antichrist. They seen the people getting killed. They seen the word being perverted. They seen these things. They were taking place. But they didn't, it wasn't in its full understanding. It wasn't in its true state being revealed to them as it is now. Now the whole thing's open. They were just seeing some little something happening. They're saying, this isn't right. This isn't right. And so they're taking them out there and they're saying, you going to serve the Catholic Church or you want to die? And they said, I'll die. And they kill them. Boom. And they were sealed into the kingdom. That was the Antichrist. That was the Antichrist exposing and fulfilling the word. But they didn't understand the big picture. They just knew that they were dying for their faith. That's all they knew. So it wasn't revealed. Let's just say it just like he said it. See? But not then revealed in their true state. Now in Bible times, the mysteries were there. See? The mysteries were there. And they seen these things happen. They were seeing it. They were a part of it. But it wasn't open to them to see the whole plan like we see it. Like now we see all the way through. We see the Antichrist spirit, how it started in its infancy. And then it got greater and greater and greater. And until this day, when the Antichrist, Satan is incarnate. That's right. That's where we are now. Satan incarnate. When you talk to the Catholic Church about the millions and millions and millions that they killed, do you think that bothers them? Not one iota. When you talk to the Catholics about their dogmas, do you think that bothers them? No. They will tell you that God is in his church. And you'll tell them God is in his word. That's the difference. So they believe that whatever the priest says, then God backs up that. But not for the believer, not for the predestinated seed. We believe that we say what he said, and God backs up his word. Not backing up my word, he's backing up his word. So if you don't come according to their idea, you can be killed. And I'm telling you, there's still people, we know today that it's a spiritual death, it's a spiritual persecution too upon the elect. But there are countries where there's people die every day because they're a Christian. And you don't hear much about it. And the left is so insane now till they don't even care about it. They care about perverting what's happening here to spin it for their benefit. But there is people in some of these Islamic countries that are dying for their faith.
That's right.
And they cut their heads off. That's the way they do it.
Yep.
And they have these things that they used to post some of it, and I haven't seen it in a long time. But they have these rooms out in the public. They can do it out in the open square, or they take them in this room, and they have drains there. Drains. And they lay them down on the ground, and their heads right at the drain, and they cut their heads off, and they bleed them out, and they wash it down, and they're ready for another day. That's happening. Why aren't people concerned about it? Why isn't the media concerned about it? Huh? Why are they concerned about rather we're respecting the transgenders and the gays and the lesbians? Huh? That's what's in the news. Why aren't we giving them respect? Why don't we let the trans men play in the women's games? Huh? Why don't we let those men go into the women's bathrooms with your children in the school? Why don't we do that? That's their problem.
That's right.
Huh? Nothing about these people being murdered and killed for religious ideas. You think Satan's not on his job today? We need to wake up, because he's on his job. He's on his job, and these things are happening. They're happening. There's just not much being said about it. It's out there. As long as Satan can keep it coated over, then you go right on. You're rubbing shoulders with the world every day. You're rubbing shoulders with people that wouldn't mind killing you. And some of them wouldn't. And I'm not saying all of them. Some of them are just deceived. Some of them, they don't even know what they're in.
Right.
But some of them have been raised. And you listen to a little bit of news and you're going to know it. You're going to know it. They're saying it. Some of these people in Minnesota and California and in these Islamic neighborhoods, they are saying, we are going to rule this country. They're saying it out of their mouth. That you don't hear, the news don't pick up a lot of it, but they are saying it. If you search a little bit, you will find it.
Right.
They are telling us, our people are going into power. We're outnumbering you. We're getting you to not reproduce. You're getting your gays and your lesbians, and they can't reproduce themselves. Your transgenders, what are they?
Right.
Huh? They're saying, we're taking more and more wives, we're having more and more children, and we're putting our people, we're beating you with your own laws.
Right.
We're using your laws to put you out.
Yep.
And that's exactly what Ilhan Omar in Minnesota, she's saying.
Right.
She is using our own laws to defeat. Look at where we are. But not then revealed in their true state. See, in the Bible times, the mysteries were there, but they seen these things happened the way John said it. Now, he told us at the beginning, this thing has to be, it has to be revealed in his time. And it has to be, what did he say? The true revelation. And it had to be the complete. In other words, when all of it's brought forth. And so that's where we're at. It's all come. So there's no excuse for us now to not know what's going on.
Amen.
These things that we see out here, they're real. They're true.
Right.
Now, I threw the scripture in here. And this is, we've read the scripture several times. We're parts of it. We've mentioned it several times. And I put it in here because it just fits. And I'm gonna start reading. I might not read all of it. Let's go. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we beseech ye, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. I'll just go with what Brother Goomba was saying, but let's go down. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the devil. And the Bible says that Judas was the son of perdition. Right? He was the son of the devil. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I was just reading, I didn't read all of it, but I just seen where Brother Branham was talking about on one of his trips overseas. He went they went to the Vatican, and he was telling the wealth of the world, that's where it is. They have the gold. They have the gold, and that's the reason why they're going to call for it, because the paper's not going to be no good. And he said that's, Brother Ram said, that's where with Israel, they break the covenant that they have. So, but not getting into that. He's saying here, he sets in the temple of God. So they were going to take the prophet in to meet the Pope. And so he's standing there, and they come, and I think they cut his cuffs off his pants. They had to cut the cuffs off of his pants or around the bottom. I don't know what that was about. And so then there were some other things that they did, and I don't even remember, but said, then when you go in, you kneel down and you kiss. Was his ring or his foot? His, yeah. Okay, thank you. And so I just caught pieces of it. I hadn't read it in a long time, but I just seen Brother Branham said that he didn't do it. And so he was okay. He said, well, cost me a pair of pants. And he went through everything. And then when he said, you got to go up and kiss, bow down and kiss him, he said, no, I'm not doing that. He said, no, the Bible says, don't call no man father. He's not talking about your earthly father. He's talking about these priests.
That's right.
He's talking about spiritual leaders being your father. God is your father.
Amen.
Not no church is your father. Not the Catholic Church is
That's
your
right.
father. Not any other church is your father. Right. No. And you don't bow down to no man.
Amen.
No man. You bow down to God.
That's right.
That's all. You're the only one. You're the only one you worship is God. That's the only one you fear. You don't fear no man. You fear God. That's all. So he sets in the temple of God. He sets there and he's worshipped as God. That's the Pope. The whole world looks at the Pope as God. It's a deception. It's a deception. It's not a holy Pope. It's not a holy man. It's a devil.
That's right.
It's a devil in flesh.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever get thinking. Brother Branham tried to tell him when that thing was back in the 50s and 60s, when that thing was starting to get stronger and stronger. He told those preachers. Yep. And Brother Branham said, don't be calling him Holy Father. And they started telling Brother Branham, oh, brother, there's something about it. Like it's like Christmas. You know, it's that feeling of magic. And he said, there's something about that. Of that Holy Father and that Holy Presence. Yeah, it's the same devil.
That's right.
It's the same devil in deception.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever think that it's God, because it's not. And when you feel that thing, don't think it's God.
That's right.
Don't think it's God. That's the devil
yep.
that you're feeling.
Remember
you not that when I was with you, I told you these things? That's right. And now you know what withholdeth, huh? What we're waiting for. You know now what we're waiting for, that he might be revealed in his time, huh? The Lord's not coming until this Antichrist be revealed. And so this is withholding now until that time. For the mystery, this is, I read all that just to say this. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Huh? The mystery, it's a mystery. They were going through it. They were being killed. They were being slaughtered. They were living in the mystery. They didn't know what it was all about. But now it's revealed. It's revealed in these seals. It's revealed also through history. See, but it took the word, the seals being broke, so the history could be put together and understood perfectly. And now, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. That's the word. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Praise be to God. Amen. Oh, there's more. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not, listen now, they receive, this is Cain, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, huh? That they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Praise be to God. That's what's been happening all the way through. He just turned Cain right over. That's right. When he rejected the truth, he accepted the lie of the devil. And all the way through, Balaam, all of them, that's what they did. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Praise God. That's what it takes in every age. That's what it takes from Genesis to Revelation. Belief. Faith to know the truth. All right, we're back. We're back here. Our time's moving, but we're back in the first seal now. Paragraph 58, or seal in this first seal. I'm going to drop a little something in here now. I must reveal what is true. See, that's right. Now, the Lamb in the time of intercessory back here. Now, this is just the first seal, right? The seals aren't completely revealed yet. And he's already saying back here. Back here. Why is he saying that? Because he knows this is fixing to happen. He knows this is the result. The opening of the seals is the result of him leaving his mediatorial and intercessory work. Okay? That's what, when he paid the price on Calvary, the blood was shed, right? So now there was a work to do. There was something had to be done. And so we only know what the Bible tells us. And so we're told that he went to the right hand of God, and who the Father, who is the Father? The Spirit. Huh? So now this sacrifice, the blood, is there, and he's sitting there as an intercessory, the Lamb. The Lamb that paid the price. Now he's there as an intercessor, interceding for the people. And Brother Branham said in the seals, for the ignorance of the people. In other words, although the blood has been shed and our sins are forgiven, there's something still now. There's some more revelation that we need. Okay? So until we get that revelation, he's going to intercede for us. So every time we get off the word, or we don't know the word, or it hadn't been revealed yet, and that was the case, hadn't been revealed yet, the blood, he's going to say, this is one of mine. This is one of mine. And put the blood there. Put the blood there. Is that right? Do away with that sin. Now the Lamb in the time of the intercessory back here, he knew that there would be names in there that was put in there from the foundation of the world. See? And as long as them names have never been manifested. Now this is direct, right? He's saying these names had to be manifested on the earth. That's what he's saying. And he says it more than once. He's going to use another word. He's going to use the word declared. They had to be declared on the earth. Here he's saying they had to be manifested. So this isn't just talking about people in the future, right? He's saying they got to be manifested. So now there's a lot of people here now that wasn't born, right? And he's saying here they got to be manifested on the earth. Now, he had to stay there as an intercessor. Now, let me just get to the punch. Because I've said this a lot over the years, but I haven't read the quotes. I hadn't backed up what I was saying. And so it's been a long time since I've backed it up. And so I want to do that this morning. He had to stay there as an intercessor. As intercessor, do you get it? Perfectly predestination. So he's saying, he's tying these two things together. There's some people that had to be manifested on the earth before these seals could be revealed, right? And so for this group of people, he had to intercede for them. So this is the covenant that these people are living under. They are living under a blood covenant. And that covenant was established 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, he paid the price. And he's sitting there as an intercessor. And now he's interceding for the ignorance of the people because they don't know. These seals haven't been revealed. They don't know what these things are. They don't know what's happening. Okay? So he's got to intercede now because all the word hasn't been revealed. So he's saying he can't come now until all these people are manifested on the earth, right? But which people is he talking about? Amen. He's talking about the people that are coming that have to have an intercessor.
Right.
So they're not the ones who are coming in after the seals are revealed.
Right.
They're the ones that are coming in before the seals are revealed. Because they're coming in under an intercessor and a mediatorial work.
Yes, sir.
That's his ministry. That's how he's operating there before the seals are open. And he makes it clear over and over and over again that when the seals are opened, that the mediatorial work and the intercessory work is finished.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yep.
It's completely finished. Nobody else is going to get the benefit of the intercessor.
Right. That's right. Yes, sir.
No, you're not going to come. You're not coming like that. You're not coming by your ignorance no more. You're not coming by the blood forgiving you and overlooking
right. Your
ignorance. No, he's revealing. He's taking the seals off. He's revealing the word, the fullness of the word. It's open to you.
Yes, sir.
If you can receive the revelation.
Right.
If you can receive the revelation, then it's open to you. You do not need an intercessor anymore.
Amen.
And he's not an intercessor anymore.
That's right.
He's not. He left the intercessory work to open these seals.
Yes.
Okay? And so everyone who was coming in under that intercessor had to be manifested on the earth.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. That's what I'm getting. If I'm wrong, you come and correct me. That's what I'm getting.
Amen.
He's tying it together. And every time he ties that together.
Right.
That this group that has to be on the earth, he has to intercede for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's not interceding now.
That's right.
Do you get it? Perfectly predestination. All right. He had to stay there because he came to die for those that God had ordained to eternal life. See? He came to die for that. See, by his foreknowledge, he saw them, not by his own will. His will was that none should perish. But by his foreknowledge, he knew who would and who would not.
Right.
Right, that's right. See, therefore, as long as there was one name that had never been declared on earth, Christ had to stay there as what?
Intercessor.
An intercessor to take care of that name. Does he have to be there for as an intercessor for the bride today?
Yes,
no. Why? Because the seals are broke. Redemption's revealed.
Right.
There's nothing. Now the revelation is there's nothing that you could do or ever could do. They had to do something. That's right. They had to repent. They had to be baptized. They had to observe the ordinances.
Yes, sir.
That's right. They had things to do. In the Old Testament, they had the blood of bulls and goats. They were waiting for the blood of God. They were waiting for that. They couldn't be made perfect without us.
Amen.
But not the bride. This is a special group of people.
Yes, sir.
This is a special group of people now that he comes and he takes the book. And he breaks the seals and he reveals the plan of redemption.
Amen.
And he reveals the plan of redemption and he reveals that you are never lost.
Right.
That you were a part of him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
What do you need an intercessor for if you were never lost?
Yes, sir.
You didn't get saved on any day.
Right.
Now, if you were living in the church ages, you did.
Yes.
In your mind, because you were ignorant. You didn't know. It hadn't been revealed.
Amen.
In the church ages, one day you heard the word and you said, praise God, that's the truth. And you repented and you went and got baptized. You did this, whatever. You joined the church, you did whatever. You begin to walk. You were filled with the Holy Ghost for that day.
Right.
But today is the true token.
Amen.
The true token. The true life never came until the evening time. And that is testified. That is from Genesis to Revelation. That type comes all the way through.
That's right.
It didn't never come until the evening time.
Amen.
The token never came until the evening time.
Right.
And it's here. It's here. And it couldn't until the seals were opened.
Amen.
And that's one of the first things the prophet did when the seals opened. Was preach the token message. Yeah.
That's right.
It wasn't long. What was it? Maybe 3 months? Something like that? Just a few months. I think. I'm pretty sure it was a few months. You know, look at it. But then he said he waited. He even waited until that thing lived in him before he brought it to us.
Yep.
That's right.
Right.
So,
Amen.
In the seal book, he was already talking about being justified.
Mm-hmm.
He was already talking about it.
That's right.
See, but listen now. Okay, let me back up. Therefore, as long as there was one name, had never been declared on earth, Christ had to stay there as an intercessor to take care of that name. They had to have an intercessor. Because they weren't coming under this. They were coming under that. So the same thing happened in Jesus' day. So every one of them come and they brought their sacrifice to the priest. They brought their lamb. They brought their bullock. They brought their pigeon. They brought everything. They brought it to the priest and he divided it and did everything just like Moses told him. And the sacrifice was made. But at that day on Calvary... That day on Calvary, the Bible says that mercy seat that was in that holy place, that the veil of the temple was rent from the top. Not like somebody took it and tore it from the bottom. From the top, it tore down to the bottom.
Yes, sir.
That's right. And when it was torn, then the mercy seat came into view. And the mercy seat was hanging there on Calvary.
Yes, sir.
That's right. The blood of God. Not the blood of bulls and goats. No more. No more. From that day, no longer was the blood of bulls and goats accepted before God.
Amen.
Now the Lamb of God had paid the price.
Right.
And that's what it was. And brother, that's where we don't have an intercessor today. We don't have somebody standing there with the blood covering your sins. No.
Nope.
The seals are open.
Right.
But as soon as that final name had been splashed in that Clorox, that bleach, that blood of God, see, then his intercessory days was over. Praise be to God. As soon as the last one was manifested on the earth. Soon as the last one that was coming in under the intercessory work, as soon as that happened, here it comes. He takes the book.
Yep.
And he comes and he breaks the seals. See? Listen to this now. This scripture, he's referring to it over and over through the seal book a number of times. Listen to this. See? Then his intercessory days was over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy be holy still. See? He leaves the sanctuary and then it becomes a judgment seat. Praise God. See? Woe to those outside of Christ then. Now, I put that scripture in there, and so I'm going to read it. It's Revelation chapter 22. He only took part of it, and the reason I'm going to read it is because he's going to keep referring to it as we go on. So, it's chapter 22, Revelation, verse 11. Listen what he's saying. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that's righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that's holy, let him be holy still. There's a change. There's a change. Not that he's going to intercede for these and do something for them. No. Now it's simply they're a seed or they're not a seed. Either they receive the revelation or they don't receive the revelation.
Amen.
He brings it down to eternal separation or eternal life.
Right.
That's a revelation.
Yes, sir.
When you take and you say, and he's gonna teach that on the horse riders. He's gonna tell you they ride right off into eternal separation. Right off into death. Why? Because they never were a part of God.
Amen.
See? But the revelation, that revelation of eternal separation, it never came until us. Mm-hmm. Now we carry that.
That's right.
That's our sword.
Yes, sir.
That's our word. Yes. We know what eternal life is. We know what eternal separation is.
Right.
Yeah. They didn't know what it was. They couldn't even imagine that. No, they believed in eternal hell.
Right.
Sounds like a contradiction, don't it? No, there's no eternal hell. Hell was created.
Yes, sir.
And just for the benefit of those listening in, the Bible never says that hell is eternal.
Right.
The Bible says that hell is everlasting. Forever and ever and ever. Okay? So, it took a prophet to come give us a simple English lesson. That's right. A simple English lesson. That the word forever and everlasting is a space of time.
Yep.
It can be 5 minutes. It can be 5 billion years.
Right.
Everlasting has a beginning and it has an ending.
Yes, sir.
But the word eternal is totally different.
Amen.
The word eternal is a circle. It means no beginning and no ending. Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
So there's a group of people on the earth that are eternally separated because they never have and they never will be one with God.
Right.
Now, they're not going to burn in hell eternally, no. But they are eternally separated because they never had a relationship with Him. They never will have a relationship with Him. It's not possible.
Amen.
No. He told Pharaoh. Pharaoh was going to let them go. Let the children of Israel go. He said, no. This is what I raised you for, Pharaoh.
That's right.
Who was he? He was one of the actors.
Yep.
Yeah. Moses was one of the actors. Pharaoh was one of the actors.
That's right.
Just acting out that part of the plan of God.
And
Pharaoh wanted to let him go. The Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Yep.
Wow. That's pretty powerful.
Yes, sir.
God hardened his heart, so he refused. He said, these slaves, we're going to go get them and we're going to make them pay. Look what they've done to our land. Look at these plagues. Look at these things that they've done. And in their mind, see, in Pharaoh's mind, it was justified because he had his magicians just doing the same thing that Moses was doing. So to him, it was just all magic anyways. They just had some stronger magic. See? They said, oh, Moses, just he overcome us, but we're going to finish it. We're going to get him. Oh, and then they got the final finale. Yep. They got to see the true power of God. They got to see the marvels and wonders of God. Opening the Red Sea. Delivering the children. 2 million people going across on dry land.
Right.
I love the story. I just love the story. Oh my. Let him that's unjust. Just let him keep going. Huh? No need any longer to pretend like he saved.
Right.
No. Now, if he can't believe all of the word of God, he's not saved. He never will be saved. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let him that's holy be holy still. Let him that's righteous be righteous still. Yeah. If God speaks the word and there's something in you that quickens and reveals itself, that's God revealing himself to you. If you hear this great revelation, you hear the messenger of God for this day speaking, and you say, this is nonsense. There's no argument. There's no fight. No. Brother Brandon said, God don't argue, and neither does his children.
Amen.
God didn't argue with Cain. That's God right. didn't argue with Judah. I mean, Judas.
Right. Huh? Amen.
Praise God. First seal. Now, paragraph 61, now, but it's to be revealed. When the Lamb leaves his intercessory place from the Father. Now, that's Revelation chapter 5. That's what we read. See, it's going to be revealed when he takes a book. And he takes the book, breaks the seals. Now, he takes the book sealed with seals, breaks them and shows them. Look at the end of the age now. After the intercessory is over.
Yes, sir.
See? Now, Brother Branham makes it clear in the breach. He makes it clear in the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, sixth seal. He makes it clear that this intercessory and mediatorial work is finished.
Yes, sir.
Before those seals can be broken. Before they can be revealed. That is hinging. It's hinging on that right there.
Right.
These people come back and say that 2 years later he said he's sitting on the throne. He'll always be on the throne. But he's on a different throne.
Right.
The Bible said he left the Father's throne and he took his throne.
Amen.
And his throne is right here in the hearts of the bride.
That's right.
That's right. So where's the mercy seat now? Yeah. There's mercy.
Amen.
There's grace. There sure is. But he's not setting up there with blood as an intercessor. Oh, no, 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 no. This thing is given out by revelation. And so you just give them the mystery. That's right. You just give them the mystery. And if there's a seed in there, God quickens the seed. And they say,
Amen.
That's just beautiful.
That's right.
I never heard anything like that before in my life. That's wonderful.
Amen.
They say, how could it be? How could this be hidden from the whole world? Because the Bible said it would be. Yeah, it says right in there. Hidden to the last days. See, fourth seal. While I believe with all my heart the seat's still open now, on the fourth seal, I believe it's still open. See, I believe he's still on the throne of God, but soon he's going to rise and come forth to claim what he has redeemed. He's doing the work of kinsman redeemer while Ruth is waiting. But soon, you know, after Boaz done the kinsman work, then he come and claimed his possession. And that's exactly what the Bible said he done. He come forth and took the book. And then intercessions is over.
Amen.
When he takes the book, it's over. See? He's off the throne. There's no more blood on the mercy seat. And then what is it? It's a judgment seat.
Amen.
See? Don't let it be said one of these days that I thought the rapture was supposed to come. And hear the voice say back, it's in the past.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
That's right.
That means there's going to be somebody here to say it?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
This rapture is not what they had, what the theologians taught us that it was. It never comes the way they think. Jesus didn't come the way they think in that day,
right.
And they missed the forerunner.
Yep.
And he's not coming the way they think in this day, and they missed the forerunner again. Because that seventh angel fulfilled all the scriptures. He fulfilled Malachi 4. The spirit of Elijah would come. He fulfilled Matthew 17. Where Jesus said, John talked about him coming and John being the same. Huh? Come, the spirit coming twice. Came on John the Baptist. Come again on Brother Branham.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right. Luke 17:30. Revelations 10:7.
Right.
Yeah. The script, it's all through the scripture. Pointing to what's happened in this day. See? There's no more blood on the mercy seat. Then what is it? Judgment seat. Let me drop down here. 1:16. Remember, he deals with Israel as a nation always. See? And the Gentiles as individuals. And the Gentile had to be made up of all the people of the world. So now, and then there's the Jews come into that. See? Yeah, it was mostly Jews in the beginning. But then, it become a Gentile bride. And so now he's turned back to the Jews and their nation again.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own army. And they started another war yesterday.
Yep.
And we're right there with them fighting. Yeah.
Yep.
I meant to look that back up. Iran, was that Persia? That was Persia. Yeah. So when you're reading in the Bible about Persia, that's who it is. That's who it is. And so, and every one of them, they all, Iraq, everyone, I looked at them just recently, but I couldn't remember who's who. But Syria, every one of them, they're identified in the scripture with that the name they had in that day. But I guess you read, most of you, they killed him. They killed Khomeini, and so not only him, but they killed many, many of their leaders. So they're looking for a new cabinet, a new everything, because that's what they did first. They didn't start bombing the missiles and the army and the military. No, they started killing all of the leaders. That's what they did. That's why they went. They're saying, but Trump's not lying. Trump is telling them, yeah, we went to kill him. It's not like we're just saying we're going to take out their military, we're going to take out their nuclear, we're going to take out their bombs. That they are doing that, but he's not. There was presidents gone by who lied about it. They went there to kill the man, and so they did a little bit extra and called it a day. Trump's not. He's not like that. He said, no, we went for him, and we got him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's the problem. You got to kill the head of the snake. See, now, and these things have been in our lifetime.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yep.
Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Eichmann brought that persecution upon the Jews, that Holocaust, and what did it do? Drove them home. It drove them home, and they became a nation. And they got their army. They've been in battles ever since. They've been in battles ever since they got there. People were trying to fight them as they were coming in and as they were setting up. And it was just like, what was the one who they fought with a gun in one hand and a trowel in the other? They're laying brick and they got their sword in one hand and something else. Was that Gideon? Was that Gideon? It was one of them, whoever it was. It didn't matter. But, yeah, I think it was, yeah. So, And just be ready every day.
That's right.
Every day. Carry your sword with you. Take it to work with you. Take it to school with you. Take it everywhere with you. Not in hatred. Not in arrogance. But in love.
Amen.
That's right. You carry the word of God in love. And God will bless you.
Yes, sir.
He will bless you. The Gentiles, let's see. He deals with them as a nation. The Gentiles are finished. See, the hour's soon arriving, and maybe is this very night that God will completely turn from the Gentiles altogether. See? And they'll tread down the walls of Jerusalem until the Gentile dispensation be finished. The times are over. Yes, sir. See, let him that's filthy be stay filthy. Let him that's righteous be righteous. He's bringing it again, and he'll continue. And now, I put in Luke 21, and I put in Revelations 11. And both of those are talking about that, about the holy city. So, but I'm going to skip that. Let's jump to the sixth seal, and I know my time is up, but let's just give me just a few more minutes. Well, and actually, this thing is really long. We could maybe just order out something to eat. Take my time here. I'm teasing them. I shouldn't do that. Okay, let me just think about it a minute. It's amazing. Okay, I'm just going to start reading. If I start chopping, I don't know. I didn't have time to. Most of it's just read. I usually break it up into the most important. So I never got it all narrowed down. Some of it I just put in, and it's just a lot. And I took out 3/4 of it this morning. So one thing, Brother Goomba, you ministered, Brother Michael, we have no shortage. We struggle sometimes to put a message together, but we have no shortage. This revelation, this message, that Bible, there's so much there. There's so much there. There's no, it's just from, if we went every day to the day we die, we wouldn't run out. It's just, and we just, and we're just repeating so much because it's so great and it's so wonderful. And you know, the most important parts especially, it gets more real to us all the time. And so we thank God for that. Paragraph 120. There's no more blood on the seat of the sanctuary at all. There's no more blood on the altar. The sacrifice has been removed. There's nothing but smoke and lightning in there. And that's just exactly what's poured out here tonight. Now, it's took him to the sixth seal to declare it. He's been saying from the breach, it's coming. First seal, it's coming. Fourth seal, it might even be tonight. Could be, maybe. It's coming. Here now, he's saying, it's poured out tonight. This judgment is poured out tonight, see? The Lamb done left his meritorial work. The meritorial work has been finished from over on the throne. And the sacrifice, as we typed him perfectly, the kinsman redeemer, the bloody Lamb that come forth, the Lamb that had been slain, a bloody one, see, been killed and bruised and come forth, see, and took the book out of his hand. The days are finished. See? This intercessor, his work is done. Amen. He's absolutely done. 2,000 years ago, that priesthood of the blood of bulls and goats, it was finished. And when it was finished, a new covenant was established. Right. And in this day, in this hour, when he takes the book and breaks the seals, and the Bible's revealed completely now. No, it's all revealed. See, now it's a new covenant. Now it's a new covenant. Now in Revelation 10, that mighty angel come down with a rainbow over his head. That represented a new covenant. That rainbow was a covenant to Noah. It was a covenant that he came with. When he opened the book, he was revealing what we didn't know. So he brought to us that part of the book that we did not know. And now that's open. Now that's revealed. All of that. And then somehow he got all of that was in the book and revealed it to us. And he went over there and he found some things that wasn't even in the book. And he revealed that too. That's right. Revelation 10, 1 through 4. said there were seven thunder mysteries in there that were not written in the book. John was going to write it. He was talking to John, and it was being revealed to John, and John was writing down everything. And when that mighty angel came down in Revelation 10 and spoke those seven thunder mysteries, John said, I was about to write. Yep. And he spoke and said, don't write it, John, but seal it up. Yep. Huh? So when those seven seals was revealed, that one who took the book, that one who broke the seals, he spoke those seven thunder mysteries. He revealed it. All the mysteries are made known. That's a promise for this day, Curtis. That's a promise that God gave way back there. And it's been fulfilled in this hour. And only the bride knows. And this bride is made up of every nation and every kindred and every tongue and every people. That's right. If there's any nationality you don't like, then there's a part of God you don't like. Because the bride of Jesus Christ, the Jews are a nation. God treats them as a nation. But the bride is individuals. It's individuals that God reveals himself personally to that person. Making himself known to them. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. And they come into this relationship. And that's why that the scripture said he would tell them in the last days, huh? At the judgment, he would tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He knows everybody. He knows everybody. How could he say that? Huh? How could he say he never knew? Because the word know is the same word that Adam knew his wife and she conceived. Yeah, it's relationship. It means relationship. He never knew them. He was never in a relationship with them. He created them. He gave them breath. Yeah, he put them here. He made way for them to have life. They were one of the characters, one of the actors. They had a part to play. But their part wasn't relationship with the living God. But there's a people on the earth that are in a relationship.
That's right.
With the living God, their creator. It's so powerful. It's so wonderful. It's beyond your mental capacity that you could think that the creator of this world, of heavens and earth, could come down personally and make himself known to an individual and an individual and an individual.
Amen.
How could he do it? Huh? And yet he's been doing it. How did he find Abraham? How did he find him down there in the land of idols and idol worshipers? And just say, I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the sea, the sand of the seashore, the stars of the sky. And his wife couldn't even have a baby. And he just kept believing it. There was something in him. He just kept believing it. Oh, that's the bride today. She
Amen.
Just keeps believing. She just believes everything he says.
That's right.
It's just wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. I'm going to... Okay, let's finish this. Let's just finish this quote. All right, I'm going to go back. The Lamb done left his mediatorial work. The mediatorial work has been finished from over on the throne, the sacrifice, as we typed him perfectly, the kinsman redeemer, the bloody lamb that come forth, the lamb that had been slain, a bloody one, been killed and bruised, come forth and took the book out of his hand. The days are finished, and now he's coming to claim what he has redeemed. Amen. That just sends something through me.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Oh my.
Yes,
yes, that prophet, he's seen things. He's seen this. He spent a week just in the room all day. No sunshine, no nothing. Just the Spirit of God revealing these things. Until he said, I got to I got to do something. I got to get up and walk around. I got to do something. He said, I'm not even feel human sometime. He said, so God just revealed, God taking him back. God taking him back and showing him that Antichrist rising up in Paul's day and coming all the way through and showing him how the Spirit of God started in Paul's day and it's coming all the way through. All the way through. And now, in the last days, he comes now to the time. The whole thing's going to be made known. Those seals are broken. This whole plan of redemption that everybody's been trying to see. The Catholics have been given money. Let me buy something. Let me give the priest some money. And my aunt needs to be bought out of hell. She's in hell and she needs the priest to burn some candles to do this. Just give him some money and he'll take care of that. Do this and do that. Every one of them has a different idea. Every one of them has a different way. I don't believe you can be saved unless you come through them. Brother, there's only one way to be saved today. You had to be in him before the foundation of the world. You had to be in his mind before he ever created anything. You were already there, one with him.
That's right.
And then he began to create. And he made the earth. And he made your body was there in it, see? And then one day, you came forth in your day, in your age, the time that God seen in his mind. He put you in this last day. He put all of us in this last day. That's right. And he had a seed. He had a seed. Just like you were in your great, 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 great grandfather. You were in him.
Right.
That's right. And you were just coming down through your great, great, great. Until you come down to your grandfather and your father.
Yes.
And then there you were.
Right.
You didn't know it. They didn't know it. But one day you were manifested.
Right.
And then here you are. And you got traits like your father. But there's another seed. That's a natural seed. There's another seed, and that's the seed of God.
Amen.
And if that one is in there, when you meet him, the Word, it quickens the Word that's in you.
Yes, sir.
And it is eternal life.
Right.
It is revelation beyond measure.
Amen.
It's so, so wonderful. Praise God. Okay. Brother Goomba, you're going to come. Now, let me say this before Brother Goomba comes. I meant to mention it, and I also, I have failed to, I think it was a text. I don't know if it was an email or a text from Brother Paul Mwangi. And he is telling about the funeral for Brother Henry. They're going to have a memorial, and they're asking for donations to help. They're sending the body back to Kenya. And so I'll do my best. I'll post that today to the church group. And so Brother Curtis has a phone now, so we want to get him in the group so that he can know what's going on. And then what else was I going to say? Oh, I want to, again, Brother Goomba is going to be ministering at Reveal Word Tabernacle on Wednesday night. And so I thought we'll go and we'll all go together and support him and enjoy the message. And I'm sure it'll be something good. I know they want him to tell about the trip, but if he told about the trip five times, there'll be something different every time. And you'll get another detail. So, and there may be something you miss. So it doesn't matter. We'll just enjoy being in the presence of the Lord and looking forward to the message and to the fellowship with the brothers and sisters there. We look forward to that. And so you just be in prayer for Brother Goomba concerning that. And then be in prayer for Brother Henry's family there in Raleigh. So this is a big thing. You know, it's one thing when you lose somebody. It's another thing when you lose them in on the other side of the world, and you want to take them home to put them to rest. And so I'm sure there's a lot to that and a lot of expense. So be in prayer concerning those things, and be in prayer for the ones that are not being able to come for whatever reason. God knows. Let's just lift them up. God will meet their need. If it's sickness, if it's finance, whatever it is, God knows. And so we don't have to know. We just we want to see them back with us in fellowship. And so we just want to put it before Him, and He'll make the way. So, Brother Kumba. Yes. God bless you, too.
Praise the Lord.
So I had somebody tell me that they really appreciated us doing this because they said it makes a big difference on being able to hear if you either hold it up or
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you very much. That was Alexei, mysteries in simplicity. I don't think I can do that. So all the mysteries in simplicity. You know what I mean?
Yes, it's
just the mysteries, and then they are brought in a manner that they're so simple. I don't think I can bring it like that. It's simplified, so simplified that you can see it. Anybody can see it now. I mean, not anybody, of course. The only people who can see it is the bride. Yeah. Because it doesn't matter how much the devil can see, Jesus Christ is here. You tell him he's here, and because he's the Word, and he's going to ask you. That's what I've done. I've talked to people about that he come, and I've showed them by the prophet that he has come, and then they ask me, where is he? And that's what the devil is going to, because he doesn't know. It was not to be revealed to the public. The only one group that's of right. the people that are going to get it is the bride, in the sense. And that's the thing. But it's so plain. It's just like the Brother Donald's, you know, those examples are very good. Like God got Cain. Come here, Cain. Look at what your brother is doing. Just look at it. From the start, he's getting a lamb, he's hitting it, he's killing it. Just do like that, I'm going to... And then he goes, he continues with the fruits.
Yeah.
I mean, why? It's not revealed. It doesn't matter whether you... It's not something that you can see with your eyes. It's not it's something that is spiritual. And that's... that is very good. I didn't also think there are very many things you said. I'm going to listen to it again, brother. There are very many things that I'm going to study about. There are very, very many things that you said that are very great. But one of them is that it's so simple that you see when from when the fall comes. It has been God's way of doing things, saving people. He's been sending His people. He's been sending His messengers.
Yes.
God tell them, this message is gonna tell them, and it's gonna save them. That's what He's been doing. That's what He's doing even now. It's our message that is saving us. And those are things are very good. They are very simple. And I think, brother, he said, I've never looked at it like this. The devil, what the devil is doing, brother. I didn't see that danger. Until today, I didn't see what kind of a danger that he's bringing this LGBT and things like that. And what are we doing? We are opposing polygamy. They are marrying 4 or 5 wives and having 10 children, 15 children. And they are all Muslim. They are taught from their childhood when they are babies, like Gabriel.
Yes.
They're put in school that anything that is not Islam is demonic. So they run Muslim, Islam, or whatever.
Yes.
And they grow up. Now, so they have multitudes and multitudes. Now they are saying that the greatest, the fastest growing religion is Muslim.
Yes.
And they are saying, we are going to take over the world.
That's right.
What is it? It's the devil. And what are we doing as Christians? Opposing polygamy? I'm not trying to preach anything, but that's what it is. Opposing polygamy? Opposing anything? We don't want to have many children? Like that. And that's Christianity now. It's going like that. And the children, when we have them, our children, we don't care about... I've met somebody here in America, a country that is called a nation of God, that has never been in church in his life. He doesn't remember any one time he went to church. They don't care. But those children are brought up knowing Muslim, Islam. What is it? Is the devil at work?
Yes.
The devil, and he's looking at every way, natural and everything. Everything, he's doing everything. Praise with God. But at the same time, God has a grip on his bride. That's right. God has a grip. It would be so close that it would deceive the very neck, but it's not possible. He has a grip on his bride, and there's nothing that can happen. But the devil is at work, and you know that. And he's going to continue. He's going to continue. This country is being defeated. It's being overwhelmed. And everything, not only America, everywhere in the world, we are being overwhelmed. The world is being overwhelmed. But God is here. That's the only place that you can run to. That's the only place that you can run to the message of the hour. Stay there. That's the only safe place that you can go.
That's right.
Praise be to God. That was a great message. I can take maybe. can I assist maybe about 10 sermons from it? About 10 sermons from it. It's deep. You know, the way he talked is like, it's not deep. He just talked like casual like that, casual like that. But I'm telling you, that message is loaded. That message is loaded. It's great. Thank you very much, Brother Don, and God bless you. Let's pray. You know us, Lord, and every time we come together, Lord God, there's a way that you come, Father, that we surely, when we get out of here, our hearts burn with us, within us, Lord, that you've been talking to us, Lord. And today, Lord God, was another day that, Father, you put something in our hearts, Father. And Father, you said you continue revealing yourself through eternity. We cannot finish you, as the brother said. That is true, Father. We cannot finish you. You're so great. And every time you come, sometimes with something that maybe you've had, but it's something that connects with other things that are so great, Lord. And we are always blessed at your table, Lord. And today, Father, we are blessed. We are happy, Lord. Remember those that were not able to be with us. Whoever they are, Father, bless them, Lord. And let it be, Father, maybe they had a time to listen in, Lord. Let it be, Father, that they got it, Lord. Because it's only you who can put it in those hearts, Father. Do it, Father. No, if they have not leaned, Lord, let it be, Father, that maybe they will listen in sometimes. And, Father, bless them. Every time you speak, Father, you are blessing. You are blessing to our hearts, Lord. And we are so thankful for that. Thank you for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.